In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I could devote tonight to spending a whole sermon about why we are to tell the truth with our tongues, why we are not to go about gossiping, why we are not to go about trying to destroy people who have been made in the image of God, people who have heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, people whom God loved so much that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die for. That is how we should look at fellow people, whether they are believers in Christ or not. These are people who have been created by God for his purpose, and Jesus Christ loved them to the point of death. And if we look at them that way, I think it really does change our perspective of them. This is a person whom Jesus loves to the point of death. This is a person whom Jesus desires to be with for eternity. For God desires all to believe on him, to repent, and to be with him for eternity. But tonight, I want to focus not on how bad gossip is, how bad breaking the eighth commandment is, and how important it is for us to put the best construction on everything that our neighbor does. Rather, I want to spend the time focused instead on our gospel lesson. The Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. There are parts that we do not fully comprehend between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that is because there is 400 years of silence between the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of St. John the Baptist's walk. There are 400 years of silence, of which God does not send the prophets. That does not mean that God's children do not continue to pray to him. That does not mean that God's children for those 400 years do not continue to trust that he will send the Messiah. In fact, there are many writings during those 400 years. But we, as Lutherans, oftentimes neglect those writings. We have been taught that those writings are only for Roman Catholics. The books I'm speaking of course, are the books of the Apocrypha. Additions to Old Testament writings, or books themselves, that are found in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint. Your and my Lutheran forefathers believed that these were helpful for Christians to read, believed that it was helpful for us to continue to sing words from, as we do at the Easter Vigil, continue to be important enough for us to include in our introits and our graduates. These are a part of the Lutheran Church to the point where the Book of Tobit is quoted in our Lutheran confessions. Just this week, I had a member who was nice enough to give me a book. You know how I love books, and especially when they are old books. So this is a book, though, from the turn into the 20th century, published by Concordia Publishing House. That's our synod's publishing house. It is a German Bible, a Luther Bible, published in 1901. And just as Luther had done, those books of the Apocrypha are found in the Bible. So our publishing house continued to print them in our Bibles even to the 20th century. Did we confess that these books were on the same level as the rest of the canon? No. But did we believe that they were important enough to be included, separated out of the Old Testament, and put for Christians to read? Yes. So we get the story of the Maccabees, something that we have severely neglected because we refuse to acknowledge the importance of these books. The Maccabees, whom God raised up to defend the temple. And so this dedication in Jerusalem is referring to Hanukkah, the feast that they celebrated, the fact that God continued to provide oil in the lamp, that it would continue to burn for 8 days. This will be alluded to, and the families responsible at that time are included in the Apocrypha. The King James from 1611, the King James translation, includes those books in the middle, just as Luther had. These are important books. The Word of God? Probably not. On par with the Scriptures? Should we take all of our teaching from them? No. But important to our church? Absolutely. So it was the time of that feast of Hanukkah, the feast of dedication of the temple. And Jesus is there. He walks in the temple, and they're surrounding him. Remember that John 8 occurs shortly before this. So as we heard on Sunday, they are having a discussion with him about who he is. Who has he made himself out to be? You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him on our Sunday's reading. You have a demon, they accuse him. Our father Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. How can you say that if someone believes in me, he will live? Jesus' response is beautiful and it is powerful. For his response is, before Abraham was, I am. And you know how that went. They picked up stones to kill him for blasphemy, because in their mind, this man is not who he says he is. And if Jesus isn't who he says he is, then absolutely, he is blaspheming and he is worthy of that death. The hour had not come then, and so Jesus hid himself, which is why we have these veiled, including today. How long do you keep us in doubt? They'll say to him tonight. How long? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus already said, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. He has already equated himself with God. Jesus, can't you just tell us? He says, I have told you, yet you do not believe. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. How beautiful are those words. Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. He is the shepherd who seeks the lost one, even out of 100. He is the good shepherd who leads us even through the valley of the shadow of death. He is the good shepherd who prepares a table before me, his altar, where he gives us his own body and blood, even in the presence of our enemies. If you are his sheep, if you are the sheep of the good shepherd, then you hear his voice. And he says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have laid down my very life to cover your sins. My blood makes you whole. My blood cleanses you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So that when my Father looks upon you, he sees not the stain of your sin, but he sees my righteousness, the Good Shepherd says. If you are his sheep, you hear his voice, and you come when he calls. And he calls us week after week after week until he comes again. Jesus will once again, in our text, as you heard, equate himself with the Father. For he says, I and the Father are one. As I explained on Sunday, as we talked about St. Patrick, it is impossible for us in our fallen human reason to truly grasp the doctrine of the Trinity. The fact that God is three distinct persons in one divine essence. And yet it is the truth, because this is what God has proclaimed. And so it is only by faith, worked by the Holy Spirit, that we can confess this. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to forgiveness. He is the only way to eternal salvation. All other ways fail. I have heard people try to say that there are many ways to that God, but that is a lie of the devil. There is one way to the Father. Jesus said it, and I will repeat it over and over and over again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. C.S. Lewis said it beautifully. The Son of God became a man so that men could become sons of God. Through the waters of holy baptism, you have been adopted and grafted into his family. The Father now looks at you as he looks at his only begotten Son with love and compassion and long-suffering. He sent his Son to pay the entire price for you and to call you to himself. Believe the words of Jesus. They testify to the Father, and the Father testifies to him. Believe on the Lord Jesus and live. In the name of Jesus,